In April of 2010, we found out that 30% of children with hypoplastic left heart disease die before the age of 5, but we still prayed and dreamed for our little boy. 5 months later, Bowen Matthew Hammett was born. And in the following days, we fervently prayed for him as he faced his first open heart surgery. And we never felt alone in that fight because of you. Hundreds, then thousands, then hundreds of thousands of people prayed for a little boy that they didn't even know. And this week, Bowen turned 5. We remain hopeful, but short of a miracle, Bowen will be fighting a serious battle with heart disease for the rest of his life. It's our God, family, and friends, and your prayers and support that sustain us. And through Whole Hearts Foundation, we're supporting others too. So from all our hearts to yours, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Bowen. Thank you.
Well, what you just heard there is the audio from a video that I made celebrating Bowen's 5th birthday and also just saying thank you to those of you out there who prayed for us, who sent us notes of encouragement, gifts in the mail, got your friends to pray, spoke kind words to us. Whatever it was that you did to encourage us during that time, if that was you, thank you so much. You have no idea what that meant to us. Today, Bowen turns 5. What a milestone moment in our lives. And Sarah and I today, during this episode, are going to recall the journey over the past 5 years and recount the story of Bowen's heart on episode 11 of the Lead Me Lifecast. Wow. So 5 years later.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine that little guy would be so full of energy?
Definitely not full of energy. No, I never thought that. Yeah, Mr. Bowen, we're celebrating his 5th birthday. And this is especially monumental to us because all his days are monumental to us, but this day in particular, I'll probably cry a lot. This day was the day, like, when I first found out that he was sick. I would scour the internet every single night and every single day. I think Matt thought I turned mad because didn't I constantly research and find stories and, you know, I just wanted to put the pieces together. I felt so torn apart, you know, and I had to find as much information as I could. That's just how I process. And so, I would constantly be talking to the Lord and constantly be researching this defect. It's called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And before that, I'd never heard that term. I really didn't hear much about congenital heart disease. I guess if you would ask me that question, I maybe would know that it existed, but it really didn't affect anyone around me that I was aware of. And when I finally could land on anything, I found a statistic that said 30% of children die before the age of 5. And so to me, 5 was always this goal because that was the only statistic I could find that would, back then, that would give me a hard number, you know, a hard fact, you know? And it seemed absolutely daunting. And as much hope as I always had, I think part of my coping mechanism was that I couldn't daydream about the future. And so I really didn't even anticipate he would turn 5 because I think I was protecting myself. It wasn't that I didn't trust the Lord, but we can all trust the Lord and people still die, and he's still good and he's still wonderful and he still has a plan even in death. And so I think in order to protect myself, I didn't imagine him when he was 5. I never imagined him when he was 4 or 3 or 2 or 1. I just embraced every day, and he is the most beautiful 5-year-old. Well, not most beautiful. We love all our 5-year-olds, but
it's incredible.
But he is this precious, oh my gosh, he is just loving and smart and tender and affectionate and thoughtful and energetic, but not too energetic. He's like a wise old soul. When you sit down with him and you talk to him, people often say, is he like just almost 5? Yeah. I know he's so smart. He's so, just the things he understands and he gets is beyond me. I mean, really, honestly. And so we wanted to take a minute to celebrate the life of Bowen Hammett. I mean, he is just an incredible, whoa.
Yeah, he is. You know, we both picked a blog post that we wanted to share from back when we first found out. And the one that I picked was a blog post from May 1st, 2010. And this is from Bowen's Heart. You know, just kind of the very beginning of when we first started blogging. You can find a link to Bowen's Heart at matthammettmusic.com under the links in the menu if you want to read this for yourself. But from May 1st, 2010, I wrote this. When this season of life has passed, I don't want to forget sitting in our doctor's office, staring expectantly at the ultrasound screen while holding Emmy's hand, watching her perfect little face glow when she found out that her wish for a little brother had come true. When our car CD player wouldn't work after the ultrasound, just long enough for me to hear Hold My Heart on the radio. God, thanks for letting it work again when I stopped crying. Buying my first gift for Bowen, a little red race car from Genius Jones in Boca Raton, which we still have.
Yeah.
Being on the phone with Sarah, her voice trembling under the weight of tears as she said, I want to buy our baby boy clothes, but I'm so scared he'll never wear them. The pile of Bowen's clothes in our living room just a few days later. How much our family has done for us. Sarah on the phone with doctors and friends, fighting for every piece of information she can get to help our baby boy. Receiving over 200 emails of encouragement from people we don't even know within days of sharing our story on K-Love and The Current FM. The amount of compassion I feel for the sick and dying. The peace of knowing God in the midst of suffering, wanting to make every moment count, and the way I feel when I look into Sarah's eyes. Only God knows my heart better than this woman. I'm so honored to share my life and this struggle with her.
Ooh. I don't think we've read these posts since we wrote them.
No, I haven't.
And I don't think we've ever done an interview where there's not somebody else listening.
Yeah.
Or with us. I mean, so right now we're privately talking, and so we're able to express the emotion we feel. Yeah. So I think this is the first time we've even sat down in a while to think about and reflect on how blessed we are to still have him with us. Oh,
Sarah, I know you wanted to share one of your first posts as well.
I don't know if I can read it all, though.
We can try, and then if you can't.
All right. If you haven't noticed, I haven't written anything for our blog yet. I don't read well.
Yeah, you do.
It's not that I didn't want to. It's just that I have so much to say, and I don't know where to begin. I have so many thoughts running through my head these days. I don't know if you've ever experienced a time in your life when a single moment changes everything and takes you down a new path. Something is wrong with your baby's heart. It doesn't look good. In that moment, my life changed. After I heard those words, a flood of thoughts and questions rushed through my head, and they haven't stopped yet. Excuse me, Did I hear you right? Please explain what this means. Is he going to die inside of me? If he's born, will he live? Will he die within the first months or years of his life? Will he grow to have his own family and then die? Is there anything else wrong? Did I do this to my baby? This is my third baby, and I didn't take care of myself as well as I did during my other pregnancies. Oh no, what did I do? My poor sweet boy. I forgot I was pregnant at times because I was so busy running around after the girls. Did I not appreciate his existence? I was overwhelmed and didn't get very excited when I found out I was pregnant again. I'm sorry, Lord. I love him. Please let me keep him. I promise I'll be a good mother to him. Please, I promise I'll never take him for granted again. How is this going to change my life? How sick will he be? How is this going to change my girls' lives? Will I constantly be caring for him and neglect the girls? What will this do to my marriage? Matt's gone so much already. How will I do this alone half the time? I have a wonderful family. How will this responsibility affect them? I need help. I'm so unorganized, Lord. You know it's my weakness. How will I care for him when most babies in his situation are fed through a tube every few hours or 30 minutes? How many medications will he be on? How many times a day? How will I do all this and keep up with my responsibilities? Lord, I'm scared, so scared. Help me. These are only a few of the thoughts that have ran through my head since that day. Some of my questions have been answered, and some will be answered with time. Clearly, this news has rocked our world. But over these past few weeks, I've learned a lot and have come to grips with what lies ahead of us. As I look back at so many things, God clearly has had his hand on all of this. We're praying for a miracle, but for now, we're resting in his will. Our family has been called to walk through this, and we will do our best, even though it's going to be really rough at times. We love our baby boy and hope and pray we get to see a miracle through his life. Ooh. We also know the realities of his condition and know the outcome might not be what we would like to see happen. Through it all, we truly have peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know if I have fully understood that until now. People often ask me, how do you stay strong? Honestly, it's simple. Christ makes me strong. I trust that he loves and cares for me no matter the outcome. I have so many things to be thankful for. God is good. Sarah. Wow. Whoa. Okay. I did not expect to be that emotional. Yeah. I have not read this since I wrote it. So reading this, I just feel so thankful. And I remember really clearly all those feelings because they've slowly evolved and been answered. Many of those questions have been answered. And I feel so thankful and grateful. And right behind that feeling is the pain I feel for the moms and the families who got a different answer. And have had to say goodbye to their loved ones. So, anyways.
Well, with Whole Hearts Foundation, you especially, since you've been running it, I've seen so many families whose stories have been different. Thank you for listening to this special episode of the Lead Me Lifecast. If you're interested in watching the video that you heard the audio from at the beginning of the show, then make sure you go to matthammettmusic.com. Sarah and I are going to continue now to share the story behind Bowen's heart.
We'll tell you the story. I mean, many of you may not know the story. So it all started on...
In April of 2010.
April 12th, right?
Yeah. I just remember swinging our daughter, Emmy, you know, the two of us, like how we do, you know, all parents do that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we were holding our hands and swinging her into the doctor's office. Well, I want to even go into more detail, so let's go back.
Okay.
We had two little girls, and surprise, we were pregnant again for a third. And I remember feeling overwhelmed, really. That was the main feeling. I remember it was a Sunday night, and the next morning we were going to go in and have an ultrasound, and we ran into Lisa at a concert from the K-Love morning show, Lisa Williams. And she wanted to do a piece where we would call in and they would hype it up. And I remember driving to the appointment the next morning, hearing her hyping our appointment up. And I was like, oh, this is so funny. How fun, how ironic, you know, this will be great. And when we got there, you know, we were swinging Emmy. Emmy came with us and she was so excited. We were, you know, joyfully walking into the appointment, swinging her between us. And when she was that age, she had had this dream, and she had never expressed any dreams to us before, except for this one recurring dream that she would have. And we've actually never told this story publicly. She had a dream probably, I think, three times, I remember her telling me. And at this age, she was 3.5. So it was 3.5, 4. So it was just as she was, you know, old enough to express things and tell us stuff. And she would wake up and she would say, I had this dream about my brother. And I'm like, oh, cool. You had a brother. And she goes, yeah, he was on stage and we were singing together, but he dies, Mom. He dies. And I remember thinking, what? He dies? What are you talking about? Do you even know what death is? And, you know, just being perplexed by this dream she would have. And so we go into the ultrasound and the tech is, you know, looking around, and she gets really quiet, the tech does. And I kind of, you know, she asks Emmy, what do you want? And Emmy says, I want a brother. And I remember leaning over and kind of whispering, yeah, she has this dream about this brother who dies. And
we could both sense something in her body language is not right.
Yeah, she had done her previous ultrasounds. She didn't. She didn't tell us anything.
She got real
wrong.
Serious, and it just felt like the mood in the room changed when you told her that.
She just kept on saying, "I can't get good pictures. I can't see right." So then we moved from the ultrasound room into the office, and our doctor came in, and she said there was something seriously wrong with the heart, and she didn't know exactly what it was. She couldn't diagnose it, but here's this list of doctors we have to now go see. And I just remember just falling apart.
So after we left the doctor's office, I remember going out to our car, and we got in the car with Emmy, and obviously we were just like devastated because of what we just found out. And so I went to turn on the radio and to put a CD on. And for the first time, and really the first time ever, our CD player didn't work and it kept flashing error at me and I could not get it to play. So I just said, forget it, you know, and I hit the radio button. And right when I hit the radio, the song Hold My Heart by 10th Avenue North came on. And, you know, that just was such a special song in that moment, because obviously it wasn't written about a literal heart of a child, but that's what it meant to me in that moment. And we sat there and listened to that song and just cried together. And I knew, you know, that God had given that as just a little sign to us that he was with us. And after that song was over, when I hit the CD again, it worked. And so I truly believe with all my heart that that was just a sign to us that the guy was with us, that he was holding Bowen's heart.
I remember crawling into Emmy's bed that night and asking her about that dream she had. And I asked her how old that her brother was when he dies. And quickly she responded with, "He's as big as you and Daddy, Mom." And that gave me this peace that, you know, I don't know exactly what that means. Obviously, Emmy has had these dreams. I really feel like they're from the Lord. And how does a 3.5-year-old understand that she's going to have a brother that's the size of Matt and I? So I've really clung to that. And I have hoped that that is Bowen as an adult, you know, and that's brought me a lot of peace over these last 5 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, all that was going on and felt like we were just getting all these different signs that Bowen's life, you know, would have a lot of impact and meaning, you know. And so from April to September, all these doctor's appointments started. And it's like, we had no idea what to do, where to go, you know, what's next for us. And so we would meet these doctors and they would tell us, oh, his chances of having Down syndrome are really high and his chances of having this are really high. And, you know, even said, you know, you should really consider the option of terminating the pregnancy, which blew my mind because I'm thinking, we believe Psalm 139, that every child is knitted together in the womb. That is a beautiful creation of God. And that every child deserves a chance to be born. I just remember us just saying, you know what, Lord, we don't know what's going on, but we put it in your hands and we trust that no matter what happens, that this is going to be a story that will somehow reach people or impact people. Cause I believe my son's life is worth something.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking that like his life is not a mistake. It is not worthless, whether it lasts 2 seconds or, you know, 30 years or 60 years or 80 years, whatever it is, we knew that his life would be meaningful. And that's why when we went to pick his name, we decided to name him Bowen, because Bowen meant small, victorious one. And I love that meaning because his heart was small. But yeah, we knew that regardless of what would happen, we believed that there would be some sort of victorious story about, you know, the meaning of his life and what God did through the creation of Bowen. So day and night, I was thinking, praying, writing, journaling,
blogging,
and you were looking at information all the time, researching. And so as you're researching and together we're learning that, and then I'm, you know, writing what turns into an album, my first solo album, Every Falling Tear. I was writing songs that were lullabies for Bowen. I was writing songs that were meant to be just a worshipful wind at his bedside once he was born, and writing songs that would be a reminder to us, you know, once Bowen was born, whether or not he lived. I wanted the songs that I wrote during that time to be a reminder to us, regardless of our circumstances, that God was faithful.
Yeah.
And in a time when I knew maybe we would have a hard time feeling that. Yeah. And so, you know, Every Falling Tear really was all written as kind of, I guess, a precursor to his birth, and leading up to it really as a gift to him, you know. And so I wanted him to hear his daddy's voice too.
So many families have shared with us that it's helped them through the process as well. I mean, you know, through diagnosis and then in the hospital and then just processing the whole entire thing, it's helped them. And, you know, I've heard many have used it for their funerals, you know.
Yeah.
Which is so touching. I didn't even think when you wrote it about that, but we've heard a lot of that.
It's interesting, you know, because we never really promoted that album too much, you know, in the Christian marketplace. And that was intentional. Sparrow, our record label, you know, we didn't want to compete with Sanctus Real at the time. It was like Leave Me was out, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, actually, you know, that's another thing that we didn't mention.
Pieces
Pieces of a Real Heart came out our fifth Sanctus Real album came out 1 month before Bowen. We found out that Bowen had a real broken heart.
Yeah.
And it was called Pieces of a Real Heart.
Oh, that and whole every entire album.
Single song on the album literally had a brand new meaning to us.
It was prophetic.
It was literally as if it was written to us before we even knew. Even though I wrote a lot of lyrics, it was like it spoke to things that would happen.
Well, like Redeemer, I don't have every answer in life, but I'm trusting you one day at a time because you can make a weak heart stay alive forever.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Keep my heart alive. The song
Jesus, keep my heart alive. I mean, yeah. Every single song.
And we had no idea at that point when that album came out that 1 month later we would be, in doctor's offices and then soon in hospitals with a son with a broken heart.
Yeah.
And so that was another pretty, pretty crazy thing that happened. So from April to September of 2010, we waited, we prayed, we researched, we blogged, we wrote songs.
Yeah.
We recorded those songs to play at his bedside. We stored up that information so we could know what we were talking about with the doctors. There's so much going on.
And we
felt the pain. We felt the pain of wondering whether or not our child was going to live, which many people have felt. And it's so difficult.
And our feeling.
Yeah. And so, people are feeling that right now, too. And our hearts go out to them because we've been there.
So September 9th came. And I remember the day before that, sitting on the back patio. He was a week late. And it's like we didn't want to induce him because we wanted him to grow as long as he could in my tummy so that he would have the best chance, you know? And so we made, you know, I think I might be in labor. I don't know. It felt sort of like I was in contractions. And we were like, let's just go. And sure enough, we get there. And they said, yeah, you're 3 centimeters dilated and you're having some serious contractions. Let's get you up there. I remember it was probably 6-7 hour labor and it was going pretty slow. And then out of nowhere, I got a massage and bam, he was there and ready to go. I remember it was like 7:59 PM he was born. And they took us back. They moved us from where you would naturally deliver or normally deliver into a more serious room. And I remember thinking, oh, this is different. And there was just a ton of people around us.
His birth compared to all the other kids' births was so nuts. I mean, all the other ones, just like you got you and the doctor and nurse and the baby comes out and you hold it and you just kind of hang around the hospital for a couple of days.
Oh, but, that was crazy.
But, there it was like there's like this whole team of people and this special room.
He was a week late. Let me mind you.
Tons of people in there. Yeah, he was a week late, but they were like, all these people.
This one in particular, I wanted out quickly. And so I popped him out and I remember thinking like, are they going to let us hold him? And what's he going to look like? And I remember, oh, I can see him right now.
Me too. So sweet.
Exactly what he looked like. And he was just so adorable. He looked perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even look extra blue. He didn't look broken at all from the outside. I mean, no. He just looked like he was not, there was no broken heart or anything. Yeah, so it almost felt surreal to me. I almost thought, oh, they must have been wrong. They must have been wrong.
Yeah.
And so they let us hold him for, I don't know, maybe a minute or two.
Yeah.
And then they took him. And I remember just the devastation of when they took him. It felt so unnatural. I did not want him away from me. And, you know, they took me back to our room and I remember saying to Matthew, get me up there now. And I think within 45 minutes of me delivering, between Matt and my mom and Matt's mom and the nurses, I mean, they were getting feeling back in my legs and we were like getting me on a wheelchair and bam, I was by his bedside. And honestly, I don't know that I left. I only checked in to my room. I think I slept minutes. And then I would come back when they would have to check me for my post-delivery stuff. I just didn't want to leave him. I just kept on thinking they're wrong And if they're not wrong, I could only have these minutes to be with him. So I just, I knew he was having surgery 4 days later. And so I just wanted to smell him and talk to him and breathe him and look at him and just take every single moment I could. I didn't care about my body. I didn't care about what's going on with me. I just wanted to be with him and answer questions and get questions answered. And mm-hmm. I just wanted, he didn't have a voice. So I remember just thinking you and I were his only voice. So we were just vigilantly with him, you know? Yeah. And he just, I remember the pictures we took of him without his scar. I mean, his scar is him now. I mean, he only had 4 days without his zipper, but I just remember how sweet he was. And I guess, you know, first day he did pretty good. I guess the second day he did not do so good. But I wasn't aware of this. But we've become like best friends with the nurse who took care of him, Nicole. And she tells the story that he was doing terrible. And she like was trying to not make it look that way. Yeah. And she did a good job because I was unaware of how fragile he was at that moment.
Yeah, me neither.
So I do remember his saturations drop, a lot of noises. They had to intubate him pre-surgery, which you don't like to do. You like to kind of keep him, but they had to intubate him and his saturations were dropping into the 40s and he was just not doing well, I guess. Yes. You know, we brought the girls up to meet him. The family came in to meet him. And there was just a ton of doctors and papers we had to sign. And then on, was it September 14th?
Yeah.
It was a Tuesday, I remember that.
Yeah.
And he was the first case with Dr. Yep. Beauvais.
Respected worldwide, so we were very blessed to have him.
Yeah, and we were at the University of Michigan Mott Hospital, and it is such a great hospital. Those people are just, they're lifesavers. They're amazing.
So on September 14th, Bowen was taken in and we had to basically watch them roll his little bed, you know, away from us to prep him for surgery. And at that point, man, I mean, you can just imagine, you know, just the trust that you have to have watching your little one. It's like we made it to that first hurdle. He was born, you know, he had lived 4 days and now it was time for his first surgery. And I remember just being in that waiting room. Again, the song Holding You off Every Volunteer, mm-hmm. just mother in a waiting room, hoping she can hold him soon. And, you know, for us, I think we had to just believe that our father was holding us as we couldn't hold our child. And we're just waiting with our families and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, they came and they told us that the surgery had been successful. You know, that we still had some hurdles.
Yeah, the first 24 hours of surgery post-op are the most critical.
Yeah, so he was still critical. But they said they felt the surgery went very well.
Yep.
And it was like, I mean, for me at least, it was like such a huge relief. It was just like, wow, we've been thinking about this surgery for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's done. And it was just, I just remember feeling like, even though I knew he was still critical, I remember feeling this huge weight kind of fall off me, yeah. You know, just knowing like, okay, we've made it through that first round.
They came out, they got us, and we went back to see him.
Yeah.
And we thought he looked bad, but pretty good.
Yeah.
It seemed like he would be okay. I mean, we didn't know, but I remember, as time passed, more and more doctors were coming around. And I started to feel the vibe change in the room. And that's when Dr. Crowley came and talked to us. And he said, listen, we have an issue. His body is not liking what's happening. And we're starting to get pretty concerned. Around midnight, I remember my feet were swollen huge. And the nurse was just like, you guys have to sleep. Like, you have such a long road of recovery. Like, you got to sleep for like a couple hours. And I remember thinking, okay, you know, they said, we think we've got him in a stable place right now. We don't think anything drastic's going to happen. So you just go. We were staying at the Ronald McDonald House, which was across the street. They finally convinced me to leave. And I remember saying, okay, I'm going to set my alarm for every hour and I'm going to call you. I'm going to call the nurse. I'm going to call the room and I'm going to check on him every single hour. We crawled into bed. I remember I woke up to my alarm at 1. I called. Everything was stable. Fell back asleep. My alarm went off at 2. I called. Everything was stable. And at 2:13 a.m., we got a phone call in the room.
Well, this has been part one of Bowen's Heart. We're so blessed that Bowen turned 5 this week. And we're actually going to take a week off next week. And we're taking Bowen, you guessed it, to Disney World. Sounds so cliche, I know. But we have a convention down there that we're going to. And we're going to take him with us and enjoy that time with him. So we're just going to take a week off. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with part two. Before this episode's over, I want to do one last thing. I want to bring around some old friends that we talked about earlier in this episode, the old morning show co-hosts for K-Love, Eric and Lisa. Eric's a pastoral care pastor now. He's doing some voice tracking for some folks. And Lisa has her own show called Life with Lisa Williams, which I highly recommend. And I want to thank them for taking time out of their schedule to send these messages to Bowen.
Happy birthday, Bowen. Wow, 5 years old. That is awesome. Hi, I'm Eric Allen. And I can remember when I was your age, Bowen, my mom tucking me in at night. And the last thing she would always say to me is, God's got a special plan for your life. And I know your mom and dad feel the exact same way, that God's got a special plan for your life. And I can't wait to see what God does with you and through you. So have a fantastic birthday, Bowen.
I remember so well meeting Sarah. We were backstage, we were at a church in Indiana, and she was very beautiful. I remember just being drawn to her and someone introducing us and just excited to talk to her and that she was pregnant. And immediately my mind starts thinking, oh, these people are so precious. I love the Hammetts, and she's pregnant and she's finding out tomorrow if it's a boy or a girl, and how cool would it be? And then you think, is this appropriate? Is this okay? Is this crossing a line? No, I think it's sweet. How appropriate? How cool would it be to ask them if they would call the K-Love Morning Show and let us know once they find out? I mean, people were listening to your songs. Sanctus Real was very popular at that time, and it would just connect humanity. Like, here's the guy who sings to us, and here's his wife, and now we're going to find out that their child is a boy or a girl. And I remember just in those moments, in the complexities of conversation and thought and beauty and hope and excitement and all the things that were happening in that very moment talking to Sarah, I remember in the back of my mind, somewhere in my soul, thinking it could be difficult news. You know, they could find out something difficult, and dismissing that thought like, oh no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It'll be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting and happy. And so I remember how open-hearted and kind Sarah was and beautiful. And then the next day, it's a little foggy. I remember where I was sitting. I remember hearing your voices. And I just remember it being so real. You know, I have these moments sometimes when I'm on the radio where one, I'm a performer, and one, I'm trying to make sure that everything's tight and right. And then there's this other thing that waves over me of being a human being and being a sister in Christ and trying to process this on a very human level of what are you saying? Wait, what's wrong with his heart? Oh, no, what? So all of that is going on while at the same time, you know, you have thousands of people who are listening to you. And so you're processing and you're also projecting. And the only thing that I believe... The only thing that seemed right in that moment was prayer. Like, this is real. And now we can come around you, and we are the body, and we are a family. It's the mystery of radio. It's the divinity of radio, how it connects us. We cannot see each other, and yet all of a sudden hearts can be connected. It's Not unlike our relationship with God, we cannot see him, but we can hear him. And there is something so dynamic with so many people being able to be connected in the intimacy of voice. That's how you know someone, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you find out somebody's heart through what they say and the sound of their voice. And so all of those dynamics working in that moment when the gift from heaven, Bowen, was his heart condition was revealed, you know, almost from the very beginning. Yes, from the very beginning, the suffering, and I use that term intertwined with the beauty and the joy, but the difficulty of his heart not being typical was revealed. It's like from his beginning, his heart has meant something powerful in the plan of God. And God had it public immediately. And I'm very honored. Ooh, I'm going to try not to cry. I'm very honored that I got to be even a little part of that story and that I had the rare opportunity to facilitate people becoming a part of Bowen's story. And I'm very honored to be remembered by you beautiful Hammett people at all. And I will support you in any and every way I can as you branch out into more deeply helping men and women and marriages and families and parents of kids with special needs and all the things that you want to do with your life poured out like an offering. Just know that I am here to help you any way I can. All right. Thank you for letting me share all that. I really feel like crying now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless Bowen.